Blog Talk Radio.
Let us not grow weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Maybe I'm not talking clearly or speaking another language, so they can't feel me. I know God says not to grow weary, but tell me why can't they hear me? Maybe I'm not talking clearly or speaking another language, so they can't feel me. I know God says not to grow weary, but tell me why can't they hear me?
Tried to witness, but the look in his eye says, mind your business. So I try to walk away, but something in my spirit keeps telling me it's something that I gotta say. So I pull him to the side, look him in his eyes, say, one day you are going to die. I know the rough way to approach it. Believe me, I did try to sugarcoat it. I was like, hey, homeboy, do you know the Lord? Do you know why he came? And do you know what he died for? And he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. On the third day he rose, I hear this every year. Yeah? And you still ain't received it? You still won't believe there's a hell till you see it? I bought you a Bible and you still wouldn't read it? The worm never died and you still want to feed it? Why?
Baby, I'm not talking clearly or speaking another language, so they can't feel me. I know God says not to grow weary, but tell me why can't they hear me? Maybe I'm not talking clearly or speaking another language, so they can't feel me. I know God says not to grow weary, but tell me why can't.
But the look in her eye says, mind your business. So I go to wipe the dust off my Jordans, but something in my spirit says, this soul here is important. And so I pull her to the side. You just a little girl, I can see it in your eyes. You think you find happiness with all these little guys. Your value's in your heart, but you think it's in your thighs. And Jesus sees you every time and make you cry. He wanna help you out if you would just give him a try. They selling you these dreams and you lining up to buy. You get a baby and HIV and can't figure out why. We said that sex is for later. You said that we just a bunch of haters. And then she said, well, there's nothing left to say. So she hopped in his Escalade and drove away. Why?
Baby, I'm not talking clearly or speaking another language, so they can't feel me. I know God says not to grow weary, but tell me why can't they hear me? Baby, I'm not talking clearly or speaking another language, so they can't feel me. I know God says not to grow weary, but tell me why can't they hear me?
I tried to witness, but the look in their eyes says, mind your business. Man, they growing up in the church since babies, and maybe that's why it hurts worse. On the radio, they sing every word, but yet they can't remember one single proverb. We just listen to the beat, but your mama can't reach you because you listen to the streets. See, now who you think you deceiving? Your partners at the school said you worse than they even. And I know you smoking weed on the weekend, and yet when the preacher's preaching, you sleeping. You can't stand up, put your hands up, wanna fight when they tell you to pull your pants up. Well, let me tell you something as serious as cancer. To God, you got the answer. We told you.
Baby, I'm not talking clearly or speaking another language, so they can't feel me. I know God says not to grow weary, but tell me why can't they hear me? Baby, I'm not talking clearly or speaking another language, so they can't feel me. I know God says not to grow weary, but tell me why can't they hear me?
Everyone, I'm Dr. David Hatch, coming to you live from Albany, Georgia, with the Teen Speaking Out radio show. Today, we have a great show. We're talking about teen pregnancy. Because even though teen pregnancy rate has declined over the past few decades, the fact of the matter is that the United States has the highest teen pregnancy rate of the Western industrialized world. It is true that teen pregnancy and birth rate was much higher prior to 1980, and especially in the 1950s and 1960s, but the time young women were getting married and having children before the age of 20. Most of teen pregnancies occurred before 1980 were to marry women. Now most of today's teen pregnant, teen mothers are unwed. We're talking about teen pregnancy on Teen Speaking Out Radio Show. If you would like to talk on this subject, you can dial in. The number is 347-324-3733. Or if you're online, you can punch one. At this time, we're going to go to our teen reporter, Shakira Simpson. You're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Hatch.
Hey, how you doing?
When talking about teen pregnancy, most people always, you know, go to the negative side. And as a teen parent, well, my experience has been very hard. And, you know, when they focus on the negative, it really brings teens down. And no, I'm not encouraging it, but there are some cons when it comes, there are some pros as well. And with me having my child at such a young age, I have matured a lot faster than most young people out here. And, I mean, he was a blessing to me. And I think all children are blessings. But, I mean, I wouldn't encourage any young person to have a child at such a young age simply because you're not financially stable, you have school to worry about, and you have a lot more things to focus on. And then when it comes to raising a child, it puts a lot more on your plate.
Well, you know, I appreciate what you're sharing because, you know, you have the experience, and that experience does make a difference. And, you know, as we come back, we're gonna get Ms. Reed. She's going to talk on this subject. And then we're going to go to our other co-host, William Carroll. But we're going to open the lines up, too, so that you may be out there and you may have been a young mother or you know about situations, you know, the dynamic on both sides, the good and the bad. Let's, you know, we're going to open up so that we can just bring some form of solution to this. At this time, we're going to go to Ms. Reed. You're on the air, Ms. Reed.
Hi, Dr. Hatch.
Hey, how you doing?
I am so good. My viewpoints are, no, I cannot personally relate to teen pregnancy, but I see it around me every day, and the number is just highly increasing. I cannot tell you how many people I have attended school with that have had children at such a young age, and just as Kira stated, you know, there are pros and cons. I don't always try to look at the negative in the situation because I've seen people, like I said, that I've gone to school with that have literally stepped up to motherhood. Just the way that they acted then, they definitely do not act the same way. They have put their lives on hold and become the best mother that they could be. So I just see growth in them, and I just think that, you know, as long as you're going to lay there and do it, stand up and take care of your child because, you know, no, like Kira said, the child did not ask to be born. They did not ask to be in the situation, but as long as you're doing everything as you possibly can to take care of them, then I think that that's great, and that's what motherhood is all about. And I also want to speak on, you know, when the father is not there, because I come from a single-parent home, and I turned out great. My brother has been my role model and father figure since, I could honestly say, forever, but I'm just going to go as far as that to say is really since I was 6 years old, and I could understand, you know. So just because your father may not have been there in your life, that doesn't mean you're not going to turn out good. And some mothers actually think, you know, how am I going to make it with, you know, the guy not around? And, like, no, you be that strong, independent woman that God created you to be. And I don't want to ramble because I know there's so much more I could say, but I'm going to take it back to Dr. Hatch so we can ask for callers.
That's good. I appreciate what you shared, Ms. Reed. At this time, we're going to William Carroll and Camilla. William, you're on the air.
Good evening, Dr. Hatcher. Our other co-hosts,
you too.
Everyone's in our listening audience. Thank you once again for the opportunity to be on the show. The subject matter that we have at hand is one that I get a chance to speak on a daily basis, one that I've been dealing with and working with the state probably since 2002, 2003. And yes, we're thankful that the pregnancy rate in the state of Georgia has lowered. We're also thankful not only the pregnancy rate has lowered, but also that a lot of the STD rates also have lowered in the state of Georgia compared to what they were in the 90s and going into the early 2000s as well. Getting having the opportunity on a daily basis to get a chance to talk to teenagers about sex, talking about STDs and pregnancy, has been a joy in the sense of being able to communicate information that had previously not been communicated to generations in a way that teens of the time were able to relate and hold conversations with. I'm glad that in your initial part of the program that you mentioned about how teenagers in the early part of the century were married teenagers who were having kids. A lot of times when we're talking to young people about teenage pregnancy, we talk about it as being something that's new. It's not anything that's new, but at least early on it was something that was encouraged because of the people being married at such young age. But now we're looking at a time where we are not as work-oriented as the people of that time were. And so we're looking at teenage pregnancy now as not being just something that affects people socioeconomically, but looking at it from a health standpoint as well. Because when we look at teenagers, to be mindful that even though teenage bodies are becoming more adult-like, that still development needs to take place, both physically and mentally. It's said that the human brain does not complete its development until the age of 25 or 26. The last part of the brain that develops is the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that helps with decision-making. So when we're looking at talking to teenagers about sex, we're looking at talking to teenagers about risk management. We're fighting against natural biology in so many different ways. So when we're talking about teenage pregnancy, we're talking about from the standpoint of trying to reduce the risk of. And so when we start talking about that, there's a whole gambit of different things that could be mentioned, but based upon different people's values or goals that are expressed in the homes, different things are not able to be expressed. Or it's one of those things where parents need to take a strong step forward in helping their kids to make those decisions. But when we start talking, one of the last things I'm going to mention about teenage pregnancy before I get back to you is that a lot of times we have to focus in on what happens financially with teenagers who become parents. A lot of times, statistically, I'll just speak from statistics, a lot of times higher education is not pursued, or in many cases, depending on when a teenager becomes a parent, they might not finish high school, which sets up in many cases for there to be poverty in the lives of the parent and the child. So what we try to encourage our young people to do when we're working with them is come in pregnant and don't try to have kids until you have graduated from high school, until you have become married, and also when you are in a financial stable financial situation where you can take care of any of the outcomes that could come about. I'm going to stop there because otherwise I will go on all night, but I'm looking forward to how the rest of the conversation is going to go tonight, Dr. Hatch.
I appreciate that, William, and as you stated, something you said earlier, which I brought out, you know, a long time ago, young women was, my mother was, I think when she was 16 or 17 when she had her first child, because that was the norm, you know, that
right.
They was teenagers, but they was married, and so that was
right.
Normal. But you know, this day and time, you know, most young people, you know, that are getting pregnant are not married, they're teen, they're unwed, But you know, even though this is a big thing, we also got to note that the decline, there has been a big decline from what it used to be, because there was a time when you could walk down the street and it was the norm to see a young person pregnant. But now I think I'm praying that it's not more of a concern of abortion than, you know, them just not getting pregnant. So, you know, I don't know that part of it, but I know that some of it is, you know, could lead to that. So it's a lot of issues when it comes down to teen pregnancy that we will be talking about, because you may be out there and you have some info that you would like to share, something maybe you've already been through. If you're already on the air, just punch one. If you're not, you know, and you are listening by internet, just dial in. The number is 347-324-3733. At this time, Ms. Sesson, you're on the air.
Hi. It was something that Mr. Williams said that I wanted to elaborate on, and when he was talking about health. And in my experience, there could be a lot of health problems. I didn't have any health problems, but there could be, because teens, when they are pregnant, when they find out they're pregnant, they get scared and they don't wish to tell anyone. And that's where they make the mistake, because there are a lot of health risks for the mother and the child. There's things that need to be taken and steps that need to be made to have a healthy birth. And most teens don't take those steps, because they're scared and they don't want to tell anyone. You have to take your vitamins, your prenatal vitamins. I made that mistake. I didn't tell anyone that I was with child until I was 6 months. That's a long time. That is a very long time without taking the initiative to get yourself checked and to know the health status of your child. You know, I wanted to say that. And I also wanted to say that I do believe it's very, very important for the parents to speak on this issue with their children. I believe that it's important for the parent to tell their child their views and share with them their experience. As far as waiting until you're married and going into celibacy, you know, practicing, you know, safe sex if you're not going to wait, you know what I'm saying? Because most children, like, you just go at them saying, no, you can't do it, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. They get more curious, and they're bound to do it anyway. So I believe that the parents should be more open with their children and talking about this subject, simply because when you're open with your child and your child, they're more likely to come to you and tell you things that they wouldn't if you didn't have that open communication.
Well, do you feel, I'm going to ask you this here, you know, because you've already been through this. Do you feel like that you got the open communication that you needed from your parent, you know, mother or father? Did you get that open communication as a pregnant teen? Did you get that kind of open communication?
No, I didn't. I didn't talk to my mom about nothing. I didn't talk to my mom about anything. I didn't really talk to anybody. I didn't have an open communication, because I'm a standoff person. I kind of keep to myself. So
okay.
That's just me. I've never had that kind of relationship with neither one of my parents. So, I mean, I just didn't, like.
Do you think that because you did not have that relationship, do you think that was part of the reason why you got caught up in your situation, or do you think it was other things?
Well, no, I don't think it's because of that, because, you know, I was old enough at the time to know right from wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's like I knew what I was getting into, you know, but, I mean, you have to accept your consequences. consequences for your actions, and you know that's what I had to do.
I appreciate that. You know, there's a lot of young teens maybe that are listening and maybe contemplating even stepping out and doing something that you, the unknown that you may not know that you may not what you may be getting into. So these are issues that are real and they are prevalent in the streets at home today. If you'd like to call in, you know, and talk about what you're going through, you can share, and you don't have to give your name, but you can share your thoughts. If you would like to share, you can dial in. The number is 347-324-3733. If you're on the line, just punch 1, and we will allow you to come in. We're going to go to a song, and after this song, we're going to open up the line for you to share. We're going to the song by LaShawn Mitchell. It's called Nobody Greater.
Lift those hands, singers, and let's just give them the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody.
somebody lift your hand and say that with us tonight. Come on, nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Party greater.
Nobody.
The song says Nobody Greater by Vashawn Mitchell. Again, you're listening to Teen Speaking Out on Blog Talk Radio. Our subject tonight is teen pregnancy. And one of the things I want to share is, like I said, you may be on the air and you can call in. The number to call in is 347-324-3733. And if you're already online, just punch 1. It talks about the variation in teen birth rate across population. So teen birth rate differed substantially by age, racial, and ethnic groups and region of the country. Most adolescents who give birth are 18 or older in 2013. 73% of all teen births occurred to 18 to 19-year-olds. Birth rates are also higher among Hispanic and Black adolescents from among their white counterparts. In 2013, Hispanic adolescent female ages 15 to 19 had the highest birth rate, which was 41.7 per 1,000 adolescent female, followed by Black adolescent female, 39.0 birth per 1,000. It's an estimated from 2013, I didn't say in white adolescent female, 18.6 birth per 1,000 adolescent female. Estimate from 2013 data show that 11% of adolescent females in the United States will give birth by her 20th birthday, with substantial differences by racial ethnicity. 8% of white adolescent females, 16% of Black adolescent females, and 17% of Hispanic adolescent females. Although Hispanic currently have the highest teen birth rate, they have also been dramatically decline in rate. Since 2007, the teen birth rate have declined by 45% for Hispanic, compared with decline of 37% for Black and 32% for white. Again, you're listening to Teen Speaking Out on Blog Talk Radio, and you noted the variation in what are happening throughout the country, but someone is on the line. We're going to allow them to share. Caller, your last four number is 8406. You're on the air.
Hi, that's a very interesting subject y'all talking about today, and
yes.
I just like to say this much about teen pregnancy. Teen pregnancy goes way back in the early age when children start really experimenting with sex at an early age, around 12. I mean, we have so many out there, and my thing, just like a lot of single parents, which I was, but my thing was I let my children be open about anything they want to talk about, and I let them feel comfortable, because I say I am your mother, but I'd rather be your friend too. I want you to feel like you can talk to me about anything. It's just like saying, don't tell your child don't go out there and have sex, because you don't know what they're going to do, especially when you work in 2 and 3 jobs. It's best
yes.
that you let them be exposed to sex and let them ask you questions about it, and then let them know what they need to do as a teenager to protect themselves from unprotected STDs and stuff like that, because learning do start at home, and it is a lot of teenagers out there having sex, and parents don't even know it, because I was in the school system for 20-some years, and I saw it everywhere. And the young people that's talking today, I don't know if Ms. Reed is one of them, but I would love to hear what her opinion is, teenagers as her. She was growing up in school. What did she do to stay away from all that? Because, you know, it's the in crowd now. A lot of parents don't even know what their children doing in school, because they think when they drop their child off, they're being good, and each year go in the bathroom, put on something, so Hoochie Mama tell you, you would even know it. And then when the parents come pick them up, they put their old clothes back on. They don't even know what their children be doing in school because they think their child is the best thing that's walking around. Ain't good because all children are not good. And, I mean, they come from the best family.
And, you know, as you're sharing, you know, and as the other reporter had shared earlier, you know, because she was a teen mother, but one of the things that I want to bring out based upon what you're saying, you know, a lot of the problem is that we as adults are not listening. And then when a child is trying to speak out, because we've already given them our perspective on everything, and so they already, a lot of times they feel like that we are not going to listen. And I think that we, as adults, have to be more open to listen to what the child is actually saying. And even before they out there, they may have already started experimenting, but we have to be open with them, as you're saying, having your child to talk to you, being able to share with them without judging. One of the biggest problems I feel, this is my opinion, that the things continue to go out, even not just pregnancy, but other issues, and because we're not willing to listen to what the young people are saying. And when we do listen, we judge. And we have to learn how not to judge in our conversation with our young people. But I do appreciate what you shared. This is great because you've been there and you know, and then you said that you are open to what your team have to say. You have a communication line open with them. And, you're out there and you may not have someone that's willing to open up to you, you know, want to share on this. We want you to be able to share on what you feel because we are open. We're not judging anyone. This show is not about judgment. It's about for you to open up and share what's going on in you. But I do thank you for sharing, ma'am. I really do. Okay. If you're on the air, you'd like to share. If you're already online, just punch 1. I'm gonna go to Ms. Reed. She hadn't shared in a while. Ms. Reed, you're on the air.
Okay. I just wanted to first off say that I think it's great that you have Shakira and I on giving two different viewpoints because, you know, she has children and I don't yet have, you know, I have not yet experienced that. But for everyone listening, I feel like they can see, you know, what she has gone through with her experience, and they can also hear my side. And I just wanted, for right now, I just wanted to give a personal opinion, my actual belief about pregnancy in general is that I should wait simply because I've always grown up in the church, but I'm now a part of the Church of Christ, and everything that we believe, you know, we strictly divide scripture of how it's supposed to be. And I feel like I'm only 23, and I just have, like, this old soul and this old-fashioned way of thinking about everything. So my personal belief is that you should definitely wait until hold on 1 second. Okay, you should definitely wait and get married first and then go out and have kids. But as you stated, this isn't a judgmental show, so I know that things can't always happen that way. And, yeah, that's just how I feel that you should do it. That's all I wanted to say right now about that.
Well, that's good, you know, because that's real, you know, and you got to share, you know, that's what we're doing is being able to share, you know, this is how we feel and being able, you know, to talk about, you know, because everyone have their opinion. And I know that the best thing is absolutely don't do it. You know, I will say that. I to avoid, you know, even the different types of diseases that easily could any young person can receive, male or female, because, you know, when it comes down to pregnancy, you don't know who been with who. And so when you start engaging in a sexual relationship, you open yourself up to anything. And so, you know, the STDs and all the other different diseases that are out there. So it's always best in mind to not do it at all until you are married, you know, but if you're going to do it, you know, then use some type of protection. those are things that are out there for you. But for my opinion, the best news, yes, is to abstain from it. So at this time, William hadn't shared in a while. I'm going to get William back on the air. William, you're on the air.
Thank you, Dr. Hatch. I've heard a lot of great information, great stories just in the midst of being on this evening. One of the things I always like to point out is that as adults talking to young people, we have to make sure, just like somebody else mentioned earlier, about being open for discussion, to avail ourselves to be stewards of the community in the sense of being able to provide factual information without being judgmental. And I think that's one of the things, one of the challenges that a lot of and I'm going to somewhat controversial, a lot of people, when we start getting into how churches respond to a lot of our young people, not just young people, but to people in general who, you know, maybe doing a myriad of different things, but in order to draw people in, you have to be able to meet them where they are to get them where you need them to go. So, you know, even working, even instructors or teachers working with young people, you have to make sure that you don't end up turning the person away as you're trying to do those things that are going to help. And so one of the other points that was mentioned earlier was about nutrition and seeking medical care when you realize that you are pregnant, because those things can create problems, not just for the mom, but for the baby as well. The different diseases and also different physiological things that could happen to a child if they are not, if teenager parent is not receiving the proper amount of prenatal care. So we have to make sure that, once again, that we address this not from a healthcare issue, not just from the pregnancy issue by itself. We have to remind ourselves that these are young people whose bodies are still developing. And just like we mentioned before, because of not having someone there to guide you or to talk you through the process, you could be doing things that could dramatically make your life or the life of your unborn child a lot worse. So we have to be mindful that we are not just the ones that are affected, but this affects a community of people. Because the other thing to keep in mind is that if a teenage parent does not come from a well-to-do or wealthy family, then that means that there's going to be monies that have to come from, or assistance that has to come from, the government. And when we talk about the government, we're talking about monies that come out of our taxes on a daily and yearly basis that go to the betterment of these young people. So we have to be mindful that as we are talking and expressing, that we bring these things to light. And just like one of the correspondents said earlier, it's not the child's fault that the child is here. It's the parents that got together that brought these kids here. And so when we talk about the parents, the older parents who have teenage parents themselves, it would be great if older teenage parents who had kids as teenagers would talk to their kids about the struggles that they went through. Because one with the classes that I've gotten a chance to do, when we've got a chance to bring in parents who were teenage parents, you know, they might be doing well now, and what happens is when the kids see this, like, you know, well, my mom made it, and, you know, look where she is. But a lot of times the parents don't mention the struggles that they had to go through to get them to that point. So instead of painting the picture as if, you know, it was, you know, rainbows and sunshine, you know, yes, every child is a blessing, but the challenges that come up have to be discussed. So, because we still do have teenagers who purposely go out and get pregnant. You know, one of the things we haven't spoken about tonight is why is it that teenagers find the need to go and have sex? And so the gambit ranges to why teenagers are having sex. So we have to make sure that we hold those discussions, because one demographic might just be, you know, I'm trying to get back at a parent. The other one might just be trying to release whatever type of pent-up aggressions that they have. But we have to address those things as well.
Hey, William, I appreciate that, man. It's so informative. And that's what we need. We've got a few more callers that are already calling in. We're going to go to the first caller. Your number is 8120. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? I was just, you know, my whole viewpoint on the teen pregnancy, honestly, to lower it, I think it really has something to do with influence. And not as far as saying that a child being born into a nice household where it's, you know, very lucrative parents that have a very lucrative job. I think it comes from, like, parents that are, like, kind of like rich dad, poor dad, of having someone that can mentally influence them, because a child is more of a sponge at a young age and they're more set in their ways at an older age. So I believe, like, if we more people that actually influence them while they're younger, that then they will actually and let them understand that, you know, because a lot of people, a lot of females or even young men, they have children because they feel like they want love or something like that, when in actuality, you know, and that gives them a purpose to live. But honestly, we need to let them understand that, you know, nothing is impossible. Because so at the end of the day, if you have your own goals and everything, you have to understand that having a child will actually hinder you from getting it as fast. Not saying that it will be impossible, but it will make it very difficult to do that. And then a lot of times people have to sacrifice their hopes and dreams for their child and, you know, impute that into their child. If they do have a child at a young age, let their child know that they're very important and let them know what all they can do, that they can change the world, and let them know that they shouldn't have to sacrifice their hopes and dreams for, you know, for their child at a young age. And also just to, if you're already a child that you were born into poverty or you were born into struggle, the last thing we should want to do as parents is to bring our child into the struggle also. I would actually rather prefer be more set into my career and then have a child. That way, you know, my child can have more chances at success than I did.
Well, yeah, man, I enjoy what you share because it's very important. You know, I see your angle, and I do appreciate it. And if you can always also come back on a little bit later, but definitely I enjoy what you say because I like your opinion, and because from a male perspective, because we got to know, you know, that even, you know, as males, sometimes, you know, we don't see our part and what we play in it. But then, you know, like I said, it's the self-esteem, how we feel. We got to know that when we bring, you know, not that, like you stated earlier, it's not that it's impossible to get your goals and things, but then you make it harder. So I do appreciate what you shared. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got someone else. Someone's on the air, on the line. Your number is, last four numbers, 4094. Caller, you're on the air.
Okay. Okay, what I wanted to say, I wanted to basically take off what Mr. Williams said from the point of view of that teens that are not wealthy, they really get to struggle more than teens that actually have, that parents have money, because of when you have money, it's easy for them to still go to school and to do things that they want to do because they're financially able. They can pay a babysitter or get them into daycare, and it would be easy. But when you don't, have you and your parents don't have the type of money, it's going to be so much difficult on you because you might have to miss school or you have to might miss out on things in life because you don't have those finances. And he was saying about the government and just things of that nature, because I actually had a kid when I was a teenager, but it was on the back end of after I graduated from high school, and I had to come home from college to take care of my son. So it basically hindered me into doing what I want to do in my future because of a choice that I made in high school, but I don't think that it was a bad choice because I love my children dearly. And I feel like it's also a good thing to come from because at that particular point, I was a very immature person. But once you have a kid, you have to grow up faster and you have to basically be a man at an early age. And I think that's also a good point and thing that comes from having kids also and not just the bad. I think we should all just also focus on the positive and not all the negative all the time in the situation. Pretty much what I
want. I appreciate what you're saying because first of all, you came back from college and you took care of your child, and I want to give you kudos for that. I think that's positive, very positive, and that's what. And if you're a young man out there and you laid down, and you called a young lady to be pregnant, you know, it's another part. We have to take care of our responsibility. And I appreciate that you shared that you took care of your responsibility. You're still doing it, I hope, today. So that's important that we take care of what belongs. You know, if you're going to have a it's not the one parent. It's not just the female that's involved. You as a male, if you lay down with the woman, then you're involved too, and you have a responsibility. And so I appreciate that you took your responsibility, and that's very important as a young man sharing that you was able to say that I was responsible for what, you know, what I did. So I do appreciate that, young man.
Okay.
At this time, Ms. Reed, I'm going to call back to you. What's your comment?
Yes, Dr. Hutch.
Yes, you're on there.
Hello. Okay,
yes,
what was
your there.
Question?
What I was just saying, do you have any comment? No, just asking, do you have a comment?
Yes, I have a quick comment just about communication, because I've been sitting here listening to all of the great feedback, and you know, everything that's been touched on, I want to talk about it all night because it's just so much that we could say. But as we stated the first week when we were discussing understanding relationships and how we said that communication is key in everything, I feel like when there's a teen pregnancy involved, that's also a big part of communication, because when you're a teen, technically, you know, you may feel, oh, I'm grown, or especially if you're 18 and already out of the house and you just want to enjoy your life and just have all of this freedom, but you still need your parents. That's just how I feel. You still, unless you are just out there wealthy and you just don't have to depend on anybody, communicate with your parents, because you don't know it all just because you're grown. So I feel like there's nothing that I feel like we're not too old to learn from our parents. And also, communicate with your partner. Communicate with your partner before you think about it, because I just think that, you know, when you're getting to know someone, you need to know their viewpoints on pregnancy and just life in general. So if you're like, you know, I think we should have a child, see what his thoughts are about it. See what, you know, I just think that you have to communicate about every single thing. And because when you don't discuss it, there are, like, tensions and just a whole lot of things going on. And you'll be, like, really lost. So communication is key and valuable. And that's my quick comment. And then I'll touch on something else later.
Thank you, Ms. Reed. At this time, we're going to the going back to the air. Someone's on the line. Last four numbers, 6580. You're on the air.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Good. How about you, sir?
I'm doing fine. First thing I just wanted to piggyback on was when the show first started, the different pros and cons. I could say from a male point of view, well, my personal story, I waited till I was 21, going on 22. My son now is 8 months. And I did decide to go ahead and marry the mother of my son. And everybody has a lot of great opinions and everything, but I just feel that, you know, when you come from teen pregnancy, it continues to breed a negative aspect, and is always going to affect you in some kind of negative way. Because I can say for my personal story that my mother had her first child at, I want to say, 15, 16, and she continued to have two other kids, and that took my mother completely out of my life. So I kind of grew up watching my older sister, watching, you know, my football coaches and all of my other athletic coaches and things of that nature. But I can say to this day I came out to be a great man, even though teen pregnancy took away, you know, my mother, and I never met my father, so that she is pretty much all I had. Well, I just lost words.
I want to ask you a question because you said something. You said it took away your mother. What do you mean when you said that?
Well, because everybody that starts that lifestyle, I can say, you know, kind of continues that lifestyle, and I see a lot of women, you know, chasing boys, and I'm going to purposely have a baby with him so I can try to keep him and stuff like that. And I seen that continue until my mother's her older years, and she still does it now. And that's what I mean about that. So her chasing men, trying to lock down men, kind of took her away from her children.
And how do you feel like that affected you? How did that affect you?
It affected me because it just took away, like, you're my mother. I don't know my father, so you're all I have to look up to. It's a hard pill to swallow when the person you think and you know that you're supposed to be able to depend on, you can't exactly depend on that person because they're tied up, you know, not worried about their kids too much.
Right. Let me ask you this: if you could really feel freely and you could talk to your mom about how you feel, what would you share with her right now? If she could listen to your heart, what would you want to share with her?
I would share with her pretty much a lot. It'll be a lot. I'll tell her, you know, how much pain it was, you know, and how it was painful not having her there and seeing her go through the stuff that she went through, but it still didn't turn around and change her, and it'll just be a lot. Cause, and I think Ms. Reed was speaking on, it was someone that said something about, you know, communication, and that's the thing. I never had communication with her. Like, I'm 22 years old. I'm in the process of going into my career as a law enforcement officer, and you know, I'm growing up fast. Me, her not being there had me grow up pretty fast, and it'll be a lot that I would have to say to her.
Wow.
You know, I missed out on a lot of things as a child that, you know, that I want my son to be able to experience. You know, I never went to Disney World. I never did things like that, but I guess that all plays into the sacrifice of, you know, being a teen parent and giving up so much.
You know, and I appreciate what you're sharing, and you know, because it's real, and I can feel your heart in what you're saying. But if you could talk to there's some young men out there that may be listening or may listen later on, you know, they're struggling with, you know, their situation. They may be in the same situation that you've already gone through. You made a decision to marry the lady that you impregnated, and you have a beautiful child. But what would you tell a young man that maybe haven't made that decision yet? He's actually on the crossroad, don't know which way to go. What would you tell a young man at your age now that may have impregnated a young lady and haven't made a decision to either take care of the child or to marry the mother? What would you say to that young man?
I would tell him, you know, the future is uncharted territory. I mean, most of us come from single parent homes, and we're kind of trying to figure out this path of taking the right way on our own. And you know, society has set the standards of what is right and, you know, what is wrong. You know, a man's supposed to take care of his child. And I would tell him, you know, before you make any decisions, always try the right thing. And no matter what happens between you and the young lady, you know, continue to be there for your child. Don't rewrite the same story, you know, because it's not always meant to work out between you and the mother. But, you know, continue to be there for your son or daughter. They need you. It's not a if they need you or when. They're going to always need you. Like Ms. Reed stated, even at 18, when they feel like they've grown, they're going to need you. So, and just do the right thing. Be there, you know.
Well, I like that. I really appreciate what you shared. Thank you so much, okay?
All righty.
Thank you. Ms. Simpson, you're on there.
Hi. Well, everyone has some wonderful, wonderful point of views. And I agree with all of it. But I did want to say something to the teens that are listening who may already have children. Don't let it stop you from being successful, because you will regret it. You will regret if you stop. Like, don't think just because you have a child that you can't be successful. And to the ones who don't have children, we'll wait. Wait. But if you already have a child, you can still succeed. You could be successful with a child. I am on a path, and I'm succeeding in life. And I'm still taking, I am a parent first, no matter what. But I am on the road to success. And I did not let my having children stop my dream. And I wanted to share that.
I like that. I like that. Thank you so much, Ms. Simpson. At this time, we're going to go to the song. It's called, by Kirk Franklin, I Smile.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up.
Bet I'm gonna be when this is over.
I smile, even though I hurt, see I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I smile.
Come on and
smile. It's so hard to look up when you get down. I sure would hate to see you give up now.
God's people. Remember,
you look so much better when you smile.
Come on.
I almost gave up.
I almost gave up.
hallelujah.
Know how to look up when you've been down.
I know it's hard right now.
Sure would hate to see you give them down.
Because you're a winner.
You look so much better when you smile.
You look better.
You gotta have something happen. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you. My. Y'all want some more? Y'all want some more of that? Are y'all sure y'all want some more of that?
Again, you're looking at Teen Speaking Out on Blog Talk Radio, our show tonight. We've been talking about teen pregnancy. We just heard from Craig Franklin, I Smile. Again, our subject, teen pregnancy. If you, maybe you're on the line, you would like to share, just punch one. If you're listening by internet, you can dial in. The direct line is 347-324-3733. This time, we're going back to William Kerr. You're on the air.
Thank you, Doc. So this has been great. One of the things I would like to ask any of the callers that's on, you know, especially the teen parents that are on the line, if they care to disclose, when you got involved with having sex, was it for the purpose of having kids, or was it something else?
William, I'm going to open up the line so these people can ask these questions. So I'm just going to open up. Give me a second to open up the line to those that maybe had a child, and you know. Okay, did y'all William ask that question again?
Okay, all right. For those parents who are those teen parents that are on the line that would not mind disclosing, for those of you who have kids, when you had your child, was it a thought of this was premeditated, you knew that you wanted to have kids, or was it something else? If it was something else, if you don't mind, please disclose. I've got other questions, but that was the first one that came to mind.
I'm going to go to 2306, your last four digits, 2306. Would you like to answer that question? That's you, Ms. Reed. Ms. Simpson.
Oh. No. That was not my intentions at all.
Okay. That was your intention.
So it wasn't your intention, and I think a lot of teenagers, it's not one of those premeditated things. I'm sorry? Was she saying something?
Okay, Ms. Simpson?
I didn't hear him. I'm sorry.
No, I thought you were saying something else, so I stopped.
No, I wasn't speaking. I didn't hear anything you said.
Oh, okay. All right, So I'm just addressing it to, you know, those people, those teenagers that are out there. Because of the nature of the jobs that I do, I get a chance to talk to a myriad of different teenagers, and I get a chance to ask them, first and foremost, you know, why do teenagers in general have sex? And so I think that's one of the things that, in order to address the teenage pregnancy that we still do have challenges with, that we have to get an understanding to why teenagers are having sex. So right now you're my representative for teenagers right now, since you are on with me. Give me some reasons. It doesn't even have to be personal reasons, but give me some reasons why you feel that teenagers are having sex and why they might be getting pregnant.
Well, the biggest one is influence you to do all types of things. And, I mean, that wasn't for me, but I know a lot of people who, like, okay, if you hear about something so much and amongst the teens that are in school, like, that's that's a main topic in the school system these days. That, like, that is a big topic. Like, they use the word smash a lot, and that's what they talk about. That's, and then it's in the music. It's a, it's definitely in the music. Music plays a big part, and that that becomes a big topic within the schools. And when you, I guess, lunchtime is the biggest time to listen to music and talk about who's doing this and who's doing that, and it goes on at the school. Actually, I've never encountered anything at school personally, but I know that it happens in the gym, the bathroom, locker rooms. It is in the Georgetown bad. You know, it is out there. Like, that's what they do.
So with that being, with that in mind, what are those things that you're a teen, you are a teen parent, you're closer to a teenager age than I am. What are those things that you would suggest for any adult that's working with kids or teenagers? And then what to try to get them to hold off or wait? And then what would you suggest to teenagers in reference to holding off or waiting?
I would definitely say hold off, because education is so important. And when you have a child at a young age, it takes a lot of your focus, simply because you have to be there for that child. Like, babies, they're up and down 24/7, like all hours of the day. So you're sleepy, you're tired, you're worn out, you can't focus on your homework. I was taking college classes while I was in high school, so some of my college classes were already out of the way before I had my child. But once I had my child, like, it was like, it's just so hard to focus. Like, you don't want to study for no test. You're just not in the mood to do the things. And then, like, your extracurricular activities, that is out the window. If you don't have, like, that is just gone. You're not going to parties. You're not going out every other weekend with your friends, because you got responsibilities at home.
Right. Right. And a lot of times those are the things that, you know, for me to talk to young people about that is one thing, but when there is a person who is a former teen parent, because you said you're in your 20s now, mm-hmm. but to be able to hear that information from someone that went through it is important. So my charge to you and to, you know, any of the other listening audience who are teen parents, who were teen parents, make sure that you address this with, you know, family members, friends, any teenagers that you still come in contact with. And at some point in time, at some age, you're going to have to hold a conversation with your offspring about sex. You're going to have to hold that conversation, and you're going to have to be able to express to them how you feel. You're going to have to be able to express to them, you know, they'll ask you about what happened with you. And you have to be able to tell them in a way that is going to let them know what your personal feelings are. And that was one of the things I think you said at the beginning of the show, is that parents need to talk to their teenagers and to kids in general about what their family views are. So I don't know how old your kids are, but, you know, I know they're not of age, but have you already started to think about what it is that you're going to tell your kids about sex and how you feel about, or even talk about your experience?
Most definitely. I definitely plan on that being a topic and a family discussion. And simply because I think, parents, they need to talk about this subject, and not only that, but you know, amongst other subjects, but they need to talk about it on a regular. Like they talk about football. You know what I'm saying? Like it needs to be discussed in a way like for them to know that you're serious in what you're saying and the importance of, you know, the knowledge of it all and what can come with it, because some people aren't lucky. They don't get pregnant, that they get AIDS. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely think it's a very important topic, and I think it shouldn't be one of those topics that we talk about it once and we're done. I think it should be continuing, and you should continue to talk about it so that they know and you're serious. And, I mean, I don't think it should be, like, a serious topic all the time because, you know, but, I mean, I think you should let them know that, yes, this may be something that you're going to do, and it's going to be fun at, you know, some point in your life, but just not now, you know?
Yeah, and that, like that's now, a key point. And one of the things I wanted to say, Dr. Hatch, last thing, and I put it back in your hands, is that, you know, this radio broadcast that we do is a broadcast that has affected, will affect, and will continue to affect people. The fact that this is a Christian broadcast and, you know, plays a big role in what comes about from what it is that we do. And a lot of times when we start talking about sex and we start talking about relationships, most of the time, and this is even holding or hearing conversations with adults, we don't make mention about how the Bible talks about marital relationships. Well, a lot of times we don't make mention that the Bible speaks about there's a chapter that's dedicated to love and to, you know, procreation and to the joys of it. So I think that, you know, in order to better express to our young people that, you know, sex is a beautiful thing, and to speak about it from the biblical perspective, not just, you know, you should wait until marriage, but talk about those other things that are mentioned in the Bible so it doesn't become one of those things of it's a veil of mystery being lifted. I think if we take the mysticism out of sex, that a lot of the problem, I'm not saying all of the problems and the challenges that come about won't be there, but we will take some of the power that has been given to it because of what was mentioned about the media, because the media does not have a fear of expressing what their views about sex are. And for parents, if parents are not talking about what their views are, then the media is going to give those views to their kids. And parents could be thinking, well, you know, I told my kid, you know, don't bring no babies home. But that's not a conversation about why. That's not a conversation about the health challenges that's there. It's not a conversation to what other challenges could befall a teenage parent. So we have to take a more proactive role in helping our parents to express these things to our teenagers so that, you know, it'll be less likely that these challenges will befall them.
You know, William, as you were sharing, you know, I think about Adam and Eve, the forbidden fruit. It's what they didn't know, and what you don't know can hurt you. And
exactly.
So sometimes, you know, when we are not exposed to things, we can be harmed or hurt in a situation. So it does make a lot of difference. So I appreciate you sharing. I want one more thing, because I'm going to get Ms. Reed back online, but before that same question that you asked Ms. Simpson, I think there's a young man. I'm going to let him share his last 4-digit 6580. I want you to ask him that same question from a male perspective.
Okay. Is he on?
Go ahead. He's on air.
All right. How's it going, sir?
I'll make sure he can hear me. You're 6580, sir. Can you hear me, sir? Okay. He's not picking up. Let me try the other young man.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
How's it going?
Okay.
Did you hear the question that I asked the young lady a few minutes ago about?
I think I did. Well, could you re ask it?
Okay, not a problem. I was asking from the question, you know, I don't know the circumstances that allowed you to become a teen parent, but the question I asked was it something that was planned or was it something other than? If it was something other than, well, either way, I'd like for you to respond if you would like to. Was it planned,
okay,
first of all?
No, in my situation, it wasn't planned. Even though I wasn't quite a teen, it was just kind of something that happened. And I also agree with someone earlier that said children are a blessing. I believe in that as well. Mm-hmm. And it kind of happened. It just happened. But luckily, I can say in my case, I already have the mature mindset that I have had for a long time in my life now. So it wasn't nothing new to me as far as accepting responsibility and knowing that life is hard at times and you know, things of that nature. None of that was new to me. So I guess I can say that was the good part about my situation.
Okay. So with that being said, you know, is it a lack of conversation going into you actually having a child that allowed for you to have the child, or did you pretty much know that there was a chance that it could come about?
I knew there was a chance because I know what I was doing. You know, I'm not going to be blind to the fact of the activities I was engaging in. So anytime you engage in those activities, you know, in the back of your mind, you always have to be conscious that, you know, hey, this could come of this. So I'm not the type of person to lie to myself and say that this could never happen, but I'm engaging in the activities for it to happen.
So one of the same things that I asked before, the other young lady was that if you had the opportunity to talk to maybe a teenage version of yourself or people that look like you, especially, you know, our brothers, what would you say to them or to yourself to guide you to a better outcome or to a more, I don't want to say, a less of a challenging present? What would you say?
I would tell them, first of all, to be more responsible. If you know that in your heart you're not ready for that responsibility or you don't want nothing to do with that responsibility, you know, make good decisions about your activities. I mean, everyone gets to an age where you know, as far as we're speaking about, you know, the sex aspect of teen, well, it's all sex. So you know right from wrong. Either no matter what way you learned it, you know that if I do this, this could happen. So I would just say be responsible.
Okay. And last one, and I put it back in your hands, Dr. Hatch. This is the same question I asked the young lady, was that you are a father, and so have you already thought about how you're going to talk to your child when your child becomes or comes close to age about sex, relationships, and pregnancy? Have you already thought about it? And if so, what are you going to say?
I haven't thought about it. Of course, me and my wife, we make little jokes on, you know, how we'll break a lot of things to him once he get of age. So hopefully that's something me and her can team up on when it's time to, you know, explain sex to him. But me being the person that I am, I would have to say that I'm going to be a realist about it. I'm going to, you know, expose, because I'll say I would treat it the way as I treat gun safety. I like guns, so of course once he get an age, hey, I'm going to teach him about guns so it take away that curiosity factor. Like, hey, what is this? If you already know, you know to stay away from it.
Good answer. That's good to hear. So my last charge or challenge to you is that as you come in contact with family members, friends, if you come in contact with other young men and other young ladies, don't be afraid to tell them the same things that you're saying now. Don't be challenged to not express to them the challenges that you've experienced from where you, you know, from the choices that you made until now, but to help other people to make more positive and more informed decisions. That will be my charge to you.
All righty. I'll say.
All right. I'll put it back in your hands, Doc.
I appreciate that, William. Thank you for those questions and for the young people that answered those questions. I do appreciate that because it's real and that's what we deal with. And thanking everyone that's listened tonight on Teen Speaking Out, our radio show. At this time, we're going to put it in the hand of Ms. Reed. Ms. Reed, you're on the air.
Okay. The last point I wanted to make for tonight was because I have been itching to bring this up ever since Mr. Carroll brought it up about, you know, why do teens get pregnant and what am I going to tell my children? Okay, once again, for anybody that has not, you know, heard me say this already tonight, no, I do not have any children yet. I am 23, but I feel like I'm going to be the best mother possible because everything that my mom did, I just see that I just turned out to be very successful right now. She was like my friend, I don't want to say his name because I don't know if he wants me to say that, but my friend that was just speaking, as he stated, he's going to be a realist. That is exactly how I feel. My mom sugarcoated nothing. She was upfront with me about everything, so I never had to let the world teach me about sex or drugs or anything because my mom always told me first. And, you know, she was comical at times, but I listened and I took it to heart. And so it took me a very long time to lose my virginity. I mean, a very, very long time. So, but I'm precautious about things, and I'm just very grateful to all of the knowledge that she gave me. And also, you know, like I was saying about my brother being my father figure, he was also there too. So, you know, I just feel like coming from a home where you can freely express things with your parents, I just feel like that is the greatest thing because you don't want to be out in the world wondering, you know, well, oh, let me go try this. You know, no one was ever there for me, and they didn't say I couldn't try drugs, and they didn't say I couldn't, you know, try sex because there's that curiosity factor. And as Kira stated, you know, these children are out here just doing things. Like, I see it today, and it saddens me because this generation is just what I call out of control right now. And not being biased, but it's getting ridiculous. They, like she stated, they are actually having sex in the schools right now. And things like that just make me cry. Like, where are the real role models and just people to be there? So I just wanted to say to any parents listening or any teens listening, if you have children or not, when that time comes, don't be scared to talk about it. It's a difficult subject, but always be upfront with their children about everything. And that's the last point I wanted to make for tonight. Back to you, Dr. Hatch.
Thank you so much, Ms. Reed. I'm going to let Ms. Simpson say her last word before she goes. Ms. Simpson, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to say something real quick. And it was something towards what Mr. Williams was saying. He asks, what are the children thinking? Or something to the aspect. But I don't think at the moment of their whatever they're doing, I don't think that they are thinking. I think they just act within the moment of whatever little bug is being put in their ear, because boys are very persuasive. And so, I mean, I think that, and then, like, for the young ladies who don't have that father figure and they're just, like, looking for love, per se, or they're just looking to have some kind of feeling at that moment, and for females without a father figure in their life, for a young man or a young boy to be telling them things that they want to hear is, I guess, rewarding to them. And they're some are willing to do things that normal people or others wouldn't do because they feel like they love me. And that's not always the case, because they'll tell you anything you want to hear to get what they want. And for the young men, I think it's more of a pride thing, just to say they did it, because I mean that's what I see. That's what I see today. Because okay, my boy's dad, he's a football coach, and I have them over often. And so when they get into that little conversation, you know, I tend to ask them questions and whatnot. And, you know, it's because this girl is fine, or because this girl is, you know, she got a big booty. And I'm like, so what other values do you see in her other than her body and her booty? And they can't give me nothing. So, and I'm like, so you're after this chick, she's dumb as bricks, but you want her because of her body and her booty. And it's like, for the females, it's like, have more self-respect. Know your worth and your value, because you're more than your body and your booty. Like, you're worth more than that. And for a guy to only want you because of those assets, like, what does that say about him?
Right.
You know, what are his values? What does he plan on doing with his life? Because football is not going to get you anywhere without the grades. You know what I'm saying? And I guess they look at it like, oh, he's the star football player, or this, that, and the third. And they're not thinking, because they're only in that moment. They don't have the knowledge. That's what it is. They don't have the knowledge. And so they like, oh, he's going to make it because he's playing football in high school. No. No, and it's not, that's not always the case. And so that's my viewpoint.
Well, I really appreciate that, Ms. Simpson, and you that were listening. Thank you for coming on and being a part of what we do on Team Speaking Out. We're getting ready to go off the air, but we're going to go off with the song, We Should Care. This is by Bobby James and Tony Reed at this time. Good night. God bless you.